Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Shavuos Daf Lamed, brand new Perek Shavuos Ha'edus, which discusses a fellow who approached his two friends and says, "Look, I have a court case coming up, I need some help. I would like you to testify, you know, on my behalf. You have information that could be of benefit to us." And, you know, they were not very excited about the prospects of, you know, entangling themselves in the, you know, his fellow's court issues. So they turned down the offer and denied their ability. They say, "Look, actually, you have the wrong address. We don't have any information that could be of any help to you." And they swore to that extent, which of course was a false shivua. So the consequence of a false shvua so'edus is a karban. And as we're going to see, even if it was bemazed, even if they were fully aware of this consequence, they realized that it's usur, etc., they will bring a karban in contrast to the karban brought by the shvua sabitoi, etc., discussed earlier, which is strictly by v'ne'alam, when it was forgotten, slipped his mind. Here, even with full awareness, it will result in a karban. But, as the Mishnah will point out, it's limited to those individuals who are really suitable candidates to offer testimony. Edim who are ksherim, as opposed to noshim, women who cannot testify, relatives, those who are thieves, etc. As Rashi explains on the top line, d'chsiv v'hu eid. We're speaking about a fellow who's considered a potential eid. B'ro'oi l'ho'ed d'ibar ha'kasa. We're speaking about those who are ro'oi, or fit to testify. So you would think perhaps, you know, he swore falsely and he lied, perhaps he would be liable to a carbon, even if he's not really a candidate for eidus. The answer is, it's limited to eidim. Says the Mishnah, shvasa eidus applies only to those who are potential eidim. Nehegas ba'anoshim, men, v'loy, but not b'noshim, not women. V'rchoikin, non-relatives of the party. V'loy b'kraven, as opposed to relatives, who cannot testify in any case. B'ksherin, those who are qualified. V'loy b'psulin, as opposed to disqualified, like a gazlan, a rob. V'eina nehegas el bru'in l'hoyed, and only those who can actually offer testimony. This is coming to cover, or I should say to exclude, a king, for instance, who's not meant to testify. And this applies whether the fellow made the shvua b'fnei bezdin inside the court, or b'shalei b'fnei bezdin outside. Maybe atzmi, as long as he expressed it himself, was a self-initiated oath, he's chayev. However, umi p'acher, if it was externally imposed upon him, so the shvua was imposed upon him by another party, ein chayovin ad sheyichpur ben bebezdin, that denial only takes effect and only has consequence if it was done inside the bezdin. Rashi brings the pasuk, the pasuk speaking about inside. V'im lo yagid, if it was done in a place where you could offer testimony, i.e., inside the court, there we say an external imposition works. But as Rashi points out, Rameir Shita is that if it's self-imposed, he himself initiated the Shavuos Eidus, that is the same whether it's in Bezdin or outside of Bezdin. Divrei Rav Meir. Chachamim disagree. They say all this is only if it's in the Bezdin. Chachamim Omrim bein mipi atzmoi, whether the Eid himself denied it, ubein mipi acherim, or whether others dictated the Shavuos to him, einan chayavin ad sheyichpru ben bebezdin. It only takes effect if it was inside the Bezdin. Okay, now, the kapara is a carbon. When does the kapara kick in? V'chayoven al zdoin ha-shvua. So the rechayiv, either if the entire thing was done willingly, intentionally, b'mezid, knowing that it's, you know, it's aser, that there's a carbon, knowing that they have that information that they're, you know, not offering. V'alshgigasa, or suppose they didn't realize the, you know, full consequence of what they're doing. Im's doina edis. But of course they had to. They had to know that the information that they were asked for was in their, you know, files. Meaning they had the information, they had the ability to offer edis. but did not realize the severity of what they're doing. Ve'enon chayavin, however, in a case where they totally were unaware, they didn't realize that they had information on hand that could be of any help, then they're potter. Ve'enon chayavin al shkigasav, they're totally b'shoigig, they're potter. Rashi explains, then it's like an oynes. It's not their fault. They had no clue that they could be of any help in offering testimony. Umayin chayavin, al doin ashvu. So in a case of mezid, what do they bring? Korban oylav yerd. So only a man is kasher le'edus, and not women. Menanimili, where's the source for that halacha? Tan rabbanon. So the pasuk prior speaks about an eid. Ki yakum eid chamas be'ish, right? Disqualified, dishonest eid will come, against the person, and then it says va'amdu shneha anoshim. He was speaking about, validate them. So they get up, and who are these people? Be'edim hakasav medar. These two are actually edim. So the pasuk actually reads like this: va'amdu shneha anoshim, asher lahem ariv v'nei Hashem. So the two men, asher lahem ariv. Sounds like we're speaking about the warring parties. They are the Shnei Anashim. They get up in front of the Hashem, in front of the court, who bring down the word of Hashem, right? So that's the Gemara wrong. The pasuk is meant to be split into two. The first three words, V'amdu Shnei Anashim, refers to the Edom. The next part, Asher Lehem Ariv, shifts over to the warring parties, the Bali Dinim. V'amdu Shnei Anashim, Be'edim Akosam Medabra. It's a reference to the Edom. So we learn from here that Edom have to be men. Shnei Anoshim. Ato Omer, you're suggesting that in fact the Edom, Oy Einoy Ela Bebali Dinin. Perhaps the start of the pasuk, Va'amdu Shnei Anoshim, is a lead up to the next word, Asher Lehem Ariv, referring to the Bali Dinim, not the Edom. The answer is Keshu Omer. Well, the pasuk already references that Asher Lehem Ariv. So that's speaking about the disputing parties. Ashari bali dinim omer. Ha'amani v'kayim v'amdu. Shnei anashim. So why then does the pasuk make reference to two additional people? Ve'edim akasu medaber. Apparently this is speaking about the edim. And then asher lehem ariv refers to the two people in the din Torah. V'im nafshach lehemar. If you'll, wish to dispute and not accept my offering, I'll find you an alternative source for this halach. Through Gzeira Shava, Nemar Kan Shnei. Here we have the word Shnei Anoshim. V'Nemar Lamala or Lahalon. Previously we have the Pasuk, Alpi Shnei Edim, Oyalpi Shleisha Edim, Yakum Dover. Shnei in that context certainly refers to the Edim. So we connect the Shnei over here, the Shnei over there. V'Nemar Lahalon Shnei, Ma'al Lahalon Be'im, just like the Shnei over there refers to the Edim Afkan. Here as well, by Shnei Anoshim, we are speaking be'edim. Hence, only men are kosher for edus. Now, we had suggested that you would oppose, right, the first source. Why? My imnaf shalchloimar, what did you have to say in opposition of the first source? V'chitema, perhaps you can argue, midloik siv v'asher lohem ariv. The pasuk, in effect, sounds like it's missing a vav. According to you, it should be v'amdu shnei anoshim. Those are the Edim. And then we shift. Va'asher lahim and also va'asher lahim arim. All of those disputing parties. The omission of the Vav would indicate that it's all kulei krave bale dinim mishtoi. It's all speaking about the same two people. Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim asher lahim arim. Those two warring parties. Not the Edim. That's why we needed an alternative source, which was the Gzeira Shava. Shnei. Nemar kan shnei, right? Nemar lahalan shnei. Ma'al lahalan be'edim, afkan be'edim. Hence, we learn that v'amdu shnei anoshim are in fact the edim, and it's limited to men ha'anoshim. Another source, Tani Idich, from another b'raisa. V'amdu shnei anoshim. Again, these are be'edim akosim medaber. We learn edim need to be anoshim. Ato oimer be'edim, you're suggesting that the anoshim are the edim. O ye'ein o'elo be'vali dinim. Perhaps these are the warring parties. Amr's the response will be, V'chishnayim bo'im ladin, Shloishayin bo'im ladin. Why did the Torah pick the word, the number two? Baladinin, you could have many, you could have a mass lawsuit, right? So why are we talking about just two baladinin? Apparently, the fact that the Torah specify two, that's because we're speaking about a pair of Edom. If you'll argue this point and won't accept it, okay, we have another source for you. That's the Gzera Shova, right? Nemar Shkan Shnei. We have the word Shnei over here. Nemalahal Shnei. And elsewhere Shnei as well. Malahal Be'edim. Malkan Be'edim. There you go. Ma'im Nafshach Leima. Why would you challenge the initial source? V'chitema B'tevei V'nitpukim Mishtoi Yikra. Perhaps you can say that the number two isn't necessarily describing the number of people involved. B'tevei V'nitpukim Mishtoi Yikra. Two is referring to the two sides of the case, the plaintiff and the defendant. Perhaps there are 100 of each, but in general, we have two positions, right? Shnei Anashim refers to the two sides of the court, of the case. So again, perhaps it is speaking about the parties in dispute. And the response to that is, you're right, perhaps you're right, we have another pasuk. Right? The answer is Nemar Kan Shnei, V'Nemar Hal Shnei. We use the Gzera Shava to prove Malahal and Be'edim, Avkan Be'edim. Shnei means the Edim, and they must be Anoshim. A third Brisa, Tani Edach, V'Amda Shnei Anoshim. Again, Be'edim, we're speaking about the two Edim. Ato Eme Be'edim, you're suggesting it's the Edim. Or Eino Elo Baladin, perhaps we're speaking about the parties in dispute. The response is V'Amras, V'Chi Anoshim, Boin Ladin. Noshim ein boys ladin. Why would the Torah specify that men came to the din Torah? Only men have dinei Torah. Women don't come to dinei Torah. Apparently, we're not speaking about the parties involved. We're speaking about the Edom, and they have to be men. If you choose not to accept this, okay. So we have the alternative: nemar kan shnei, v'nemar lahal shnei. Why would you reject the initial offering? Perhaps you'll respond by saying, yeah, it's Bali Dinin, but typically Bali Dinin on men. Isha lav urcha. A woman typically does not come to present her case in the Bezdin. Mishum, on account of, you know, modesty concerns, kol kvuda bas melach pnima, a woman is meant to stay indoors. And as Tesis explains, she would send, you know, somebody to represent her, and perhaps that's why the Torah describes the Baladinim as men. And we're speaking, in fact, about the Baladinim, not the Edom. The answer to that is, we do have the alternative approach, which is based on the Gzeirah Shava, to in fact prove that the Amdu Shnei Anoshim are the Edom, and they have to be men only. Nemar Kan Shnei, V'Nemar Lahalon Shnei, Man Lahalon Be'edom Avkan Be'edom. So in conclusion, V'amda Shnei Anoshim refers to the two Edim, and it's limited to Anoshim, who are kosher, and only Anoshim are kosher, not Anoshim. Tan Rabbanan. So back to that pasuk, V'amda Shnei Anoshim. The initial reference is the Edim, and then, as Rashi points out, the pasuk does continue to say Asher Lehem Ariv, referring to the Bali Dinim. Hence, we learn from here, v'amdu shnei anoshim, that mitzvah lebalei dinin sheyamdu. That in fact, the balei dinim, the parties in dispute, must be standing during the court case. They stand in front of the judges who are sitting in front of them. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shamati. Says Rabbi Yehuda, actually, I learned from my teachers that, you know, the standing position is not really critical. As long as you treat them both, you know, the two parties, you treat them both equally, with equal respect. Either both standing, both sitting. You don't discriminate. Have one sit and one stand, which would intimidate one party and perhaps, you know, affect his confidence level, his ability to present his case properly. If the Bezdin chooses to have them both seated, that's fine. Ezehu Osir. Which method is problematic? You can't have one standing and one seated. Likewise, Echad Medaber Kol Tzarkai. Treat one with more respect than the other. Have this fellow talk his mind out. And when the other one starts speaking, you tell him, you're speaking too long. That shuts him down. That intimidates him. As long as you treat them both equally and fairly, you're good. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no requirement to actually stand during the deliberation process. We're going to see later. They certainly have to stand when the verdict is delivered. The Bezin sits, and the Baladinim stand at that point. Likewise, we're going to learn that the Edim, when they offer their testimony, have to stand in front of the Dayana. But throughout the deliberation process, it could take hours, it could take days, the Baladinim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can sit as long as they're both treated equally. Tana Rabbanan. We have a pasuk, "B'tzedek tishpoit am yisrach." You should judge truthfully. It relates to this idea of treating them both equally. Shelo yehi echad yoshev, echad oimed, echad medaber kol tzorkoi, right? Ve'echad oimed loy katzet varecha. Give them both equal floor time. Treat them both with equality. Davar acher. Another interpretation, another application for this pasuk. Even outside the courtroom, every person is really deemed a judge with respect to his fellow Jew. You notice somebody doing something which might be problematic. You can give him the benefit of the doubt, right? You can issue a positive verdict, so to speak, or the opposite. There's a mitzvah saseh, davaracha bet tzedek, tishpoit amisecha. We learn, have you done es chaver chalkav zchus? It's a mitzvah to judge your fellow Jew favorably. And the Rosh Hashanah point out that if it's an average person, not known as a great tzaddik or vice versa, then when the equation is pretty much 50-50, then you're meant to be meant to judge him l'kav zchus. Otherwise, if the positive side of things is very far-fetched, in that case, you don't have a chiv to be done the kapschus. You just leave it, up in the air as a suffix. You don't conclude one with the other, unless he's known to be a great man, a tzaddik. In that case, even if the chance of schus is far-fetched, you're meant to be done the kapschus. Continues the Gemara. Tony Rav Yosef, B'tzedek tish b'tam b'secha, has another application as well. Amisecha is learned im shi'itcha b'toiro u'b'mitzvais. One, a fellow who is with you, meaning a peer of yours. We're speaking about a dayan, so a peer, a colleague, one who is pretty much on your level with respect to Torah and mitzvais. Hishtadel l'duinoi yafe. Yafe, yafe is a geras in the Bach. And the Gemara later explains this to mean that you're meant to judge him, give him priority. In terms of scheduling the court cases in court, if he's a great man, if he's a man of Torah, mitzvahs, on a high level, address his concerns first, let him back to the Beis Medrash, to his learning. Rav Ula, there was a story about Rav Ula, Breidu Rav Eloi, Havali Dino Kamei Rav Nachman. He had a court case in front of Rav Nachman, who was the judge. Shalach Rav Yosef, in advance of the court case, Rav Yosef sends a message to Rav Nachman. Ula Chavreini, you meant to know that Ula, our colleague, who's coming to you shortly, Amit b'Torah b'mitzvahs, right? He's one of ours. He's a great man, Torah mitzvahs. Omar, so Rav Nachman was wondering, L'may shalachli, why is he giving me this heads up? L'chnufilei, so that I show favoritism to this man? That can't be. What then? Hadar Omar, then he figured L'mishra b'tigre, to let go of his court case first, meaning, right, Tesis explains, suppose he shows up in court together with others, who goes first? Talmud Chacham goes first. Inami, another pshat in Tesis, even if the Talmud Chacham came second, and typically it's first come, first serve, but Kavod HaTorah demands, it's a mitzvah saseh, demands that he be given priority and looked after first. Inami, another possible reason why he gave me the heads up in terms of identifying the litigant as a Talmud Chacham, L'shuda D'dayni. So that I would favor him in a situation where it's up in the air in terms of, who to give the item to, let's say in a case of a double matana, two documents that are recorded on the same day. We're not sure who the seller had in mind. Well, these types of cases where it's virtually impossible to verify 100%, shuda the dayanim are meant to toss it, so to speak. They're meant to use their judgment in terms of who they think deserves this item or deserves this property. And the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham gives us more reason to believe that he had in mind, he's the one who he had in mind as the beneficiary. Amar lo machlokes balei dinin. This goes back to the standing-sitting question. Chacham say that balei dinin are meant to stand throughout the process. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. As long as they're both sitting or both standing, that's okay. Says the Gemara, this is limited to balei dinin, to the disputing parties. Aval be'edim, but the witnesses, divrei ha'kol ba'amida, all agree. They must stand in front of the Beis Din when they testify. Dechsiv v'amdu shnei anoshim, the edim certainly have to stand. Amar afuna, machlokes v'shas ma'aso matan. Again, this whole discussion regarding the position of the balei dinim is only while deliberations are taking place. Aval b'shas gemar din. But when the Beis Din delivers their verdict, the Rakoi Layon b'yeshiva, who balei dinim b'amida, all agree the judges sit, the parties stand to accept their judgment. Tachsiv v'yoshev, v'yeshev, Moshe lishpat yasa'am, v'yamudam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shofet, and when he issued the mishpat, the verdict, he was seated, and the balei dinim was standing. Another slightly different version. Machlekes v'shas maso matan. Our discussion pertains to the maso matan of the din, aval b'shas gemar din. But at that point, divrei hakol all agree, dayanim b'yeshiva, u'balei dinin ba'amida. Dayanim sit, and the balei dinim stand. How do we know? The edim. Because we have just proven that the edim, when they testify, must stand. Ki gemar din damu. So when they offer their testimony, it's like Gemar Din. That's all they're doing. They're saying and they're leaving. Right? That's the end of their process. It's like Gemar Din. It's like the final step of their process, i.e. similar to the issuance of verdict after the entire din. So we equate the two things. And just like they are required to stand, right? Because that's all they're doing, they're contributing their aid, and they're leaving. So just like they stand, and it says, with reference to the Edom, v'amdu shnei anoshim, that they stand. Likewise, the balei dinim are also meant to stand, at least during the gemar din, which is the final stage, final step of the din Torah process. Okay, so again, machlokes between chachamim, who say that the Edim, the balei dinim, all have to stand. Versus Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's not necessarily so, as long as you're treating them fairly and equally. So in terms of balei dinim, they can sit, but there are exceptions. During Gemar Din, they must stand. And the Edim as well, when they testify, they have to stand. V'amdu shnei anoshim, primarily relates to the Edom, right? Because that's the beginning of the Pasuk. Shnei Anashim is the Edom. So the word V'amdu relates primarily to them. And hence, they have to stand during their testimony. And likewise, the Balei Dinim, during the Gemar Din, and that's learned from the other Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, there was a story with Rav Huna's widow. Tvisu de Rav Huna, Hava Lodino Kameda Rav Nachman. She was scheduled to appear at a court case in front of Rav Nachman, who was the judge. Omar, he figured, Hechina Avid, what should I do? How should I proceed? Look, she walks in, I should be getting up for her. Right? We know that Eishes Chaver, a wife of a Talmud Chacham, in this case Rav Huna, Harika Chaver, she has similar status to her husband. She must be treated with respect on account of her husband's, kavod ha-Torah. So I can't be seated while she walks in standing. I have to get up in her honor. But by doing so, I'm going to put her litigant at a disadvantage, because he's going to feel intimidated when I show her respect and not him. Right? So what should I do? If I get up for her, Mistatman Tanosi de Baldina, her Baldin will be thwarted. Right? I have a hard time presenting his tainus, his case. If I don't get up, Eshes Chaver, how could I do that? It demands respect. Eshes Chaver, Harika Chaver, I can't just ignore her. Unlike the Shamis, he came up with the following solution. He's going to get up in a way which is not really, you know, obvious, so that her adversary doesn't get intimidated. Say va'afrachalai, he tells his assistant, say va'afrachalai bar avza, take this like bird thing and toss it up in the air. V'shadi ilu'et, you know, toss it over me. And this way I'll jump up, ve'ekum, and I'll get up in a manner which is, on the one hand, covet for the isha, but in a not so obvious way, so that he doesn't feel discriminated against. Interesting, Tosis points out that even if she doesn't realize, according to one Teretz, even if she doesn't realize that he's doing her in her honor, he says at least he's not sitting. Sitting while she walks in is a problem, but if he's at least not sitting, right? So even though she doesn't necessarily appreciate what he's doing on her behalf, that's okay. Another Teretz said Tosis, she was a smart woman, she would realize why he's doing it this way, so she would get the honor. Same time, the other fellow would not feel put down. And I'll get up. Vamar Mar asks the Gemara, one second. That's good, you know, initially when she walks into the courtroom, he'll get up, you know, using this alibi. But what about, you know, and then he'll seat her. But what about during the Gemara Din, when she has to get up again, he has to be seated at again? Is going to be lacking in you know, a show of respect for the isha. So what's the solution for that moment? Vamar Ma, we just learned machlekes b'shas maso matan. This whole discussion, this whole allowance to sit is only during the deliberation process, and then he can seat her. Avashas gmar dimo, they issue their verdict. The baladini must get up again in front of the dayanim. The rakol all agree dayanim be yeshiva. The judges sit. Ubaladinim, they must be standing by Mida. How's he going to solve that issue? The answer is, he'll figure out a way to position himself somewhere, you know, between sitting and standing, leaning over. He'll get up slightly. This way he'll be considered, on the one hand, in fulfillment of the sitting directive required of the Dayanim. Same time, he's not fully sitting, he's partially standing, in deference to the Eishas Chaver. The officer will sit, command the Shari Misani, leaning over, like one who is untying his shoes. V'amar, at that point, in this crouched over position, he'll issue his verdict, Ishpleini ata zaka, you're innocent, Ishpleini ata chayv, you're guilty. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, hay tzuban rabban, this young Talmud Chacham Amaretz, together with the Amaretz, this Lodina Badi Adadi, they have this court case, when they walk into the Bezdin, we ask the Talmud Chacham to be seated as a show of kavod, ulam aretz nami, and his adversary as well. We tell him, look, we can't discriminate, so we invite him to sit down. Aminu leitiv, if he chooses to stand out of kavod, less lomba, we're not concerned, as long as he was given the option. Rav Bar Shravya, what happened to him? Havali dina kamed rapapa. He was coming before a papa for a din Torah. Oy space, or a papa asked him to be seated because he was a Talmud Chacham. Oysev nami l'baldine. And likewise, he seated the other fellow as well. Asha shlicha de Beidina. So comes along the shliach, the clerk of the Bezdin. Botash bei. He gave this other fellow a kick, the Amaretz. Voik mil Amaretz, and he got him to stand. V'leyam l'rapapa. Tiv, and rapapa did not object and ask him to sit. And this resulted in a situation where the Talmud Chacham, one Baldin was standing, was sitting, and the Amaretz was standing. So he was sitting, he was standing. How could Rapapa allow this discriminatory process to happen in his Bezdin? The Amaretz will feel rejected and intimidated. Amar Rapapa, so Rapapa says no. Meima Amar. He's not going to take it personally. He'll figure, you know what? It's something with the Yishleach Bezen. Meme Omar, you, so the Amaris will say, Ha'isvan. Meme Omar, the Amaris will say, Ihu Ha'isvan. He, meaning Rav Papa himself, who has, you know, real say in the matter, he invited me to sit down. The other guy was the one who, you know, bumped me out. Shlicha, who delayed me, finds me, no, he's not happy with me. I didn't do him any favors. You know, he doesn't owe me any favors, so he got me to stand. He didn't respect me, but he won't take it personally. In terms of the Dayan's approach, in terms of Dayan's perspective, he'll view him as a fair person who respects him as much as the other party. V'amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, talking about the assistants, and so I once read a story about a fellow who came to a great Rebbe, I think it was the Ger Rebbe, way back in Europe. He was desperate for a bracha, didn't have kids, and he was standing in line for hours, and he was getting antsy, he was getting, you know, impatient. So he pushed his way up to the front, and the gabbai, he wouldn't let him in, so he slapped the dayan, the gabbai, he gave him a patch. It didn't help him much. He sent him to the back of the line. He had to wait his turn. And the Rebbe somehow found out about this, you know. So when he came in for the bracha, the Rebbe says, listen, before we talk, you have business to take care of. Go ask the gabbai for mechila for what you did to him. You hit him. So he calls in the gabbai. And the Rebbe says to the fatherless child, listen, you have to take care of, you know, business. You have to ask mechila from the gabbai. So the man says, okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Gabbai, could you be meichel me? So the Gabbai turns to the Rebbe and he says, listen, I'm not going to be meichel him. The only way I'm going to be meichel him, I'm going to forgive him, on one condition. If he gets a bracha from you, to have children. Beautiful, nice. V'amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, continues the Gemara. Haitzum Rabbanon V'amar Aretz. Once again, we have the Talmud Chacham, the Talmud Aretz, engaged in a dispute. This Ludina Badi Adadi. There's a verse in the Bach. So the Talmud Chacham should not, rush in first and sit down with the Dayan, because it's going to appear, right? Optically, it's going to appear like he's, you know, warming up to the Dayan ahead of the court case. Mishum Demichse, it looks like Kimanda Sadle Ledine, like he's presenting his case before his opponent shows up, which is unfair. It's only a concern when he has no, chavrusa with him. He has no set time to learn with him. So then it looks like he's, it's court related. But let's say he has a predetermined, a learning session with the dayan, with the rebbe, with the rav. That's not an issue. Less lomo, there's no concern about showing up before the case. Meim amar, because the opponent will say, bidnei tarot, they're just learning daf yomi together. That's not going to cloud the rav's judgment with respect to the upcoming case. Another story. A Talmud Chacham has information and can testify at somebody's court case, but it's not becoming of him. It's not kaved. It's embarrassing for him. Lemezel lebe dayana, to go and testify in front of a junior dayan, who is a lower level dayan, to testify before him. Loy Lazel, he doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to embarrass himself. Amar Rav Shishu b'Ravidi, Afananam Tanina. I have support for this halacha from a different different halacha, which relates to Hashavas Aveda, where likewise we find that one is not required to exert himself and lower himself for somebody else's, financial gain. If it's merely financial gain, who says I'm meant to sacrifice my self-respect for that fellow's $5. Tanina Matza Saka Kupa, a fellow walking down the street finds this sack or this crate. Vein Darkei Litol. Even if it would be his, he wouldn't bother bending down to pick it up. It's not becoming of his stature. Harezel Litol. So he's not obligated to pick it up and return it to its owner. Says the Gemara, there is a limitation to this halacha. This only pertains to issues revolving around financial matters. Right? So who's to say I'm meant to sacrifice my thing for your money? Maybe you sacrifice your money for my, right? I will be suitable, but if it pertains to issues of Isser, for example, says Rashi, you have a woman under the impression that her husband died. She comes to the Chacham to issue her a heter to remarry. And this fellow of ours, this Talmud Chacham, happens to know firsthand that her husband is still alive. You can't ignore that. You can't stay home. You have to run to the dayan, whoever he is. Present your story. I will be Isura, but if there's a risk of Isser in abstaining, we say Ein Chacham Vein Tvuna Vein Eitza, all these statuses, wisdom, and all, L'neged Hashem is insignificant with respect to Hashem's honor. If it can generate Chil Hashem and Averis, Ein Cholkim, we don't apply Kavod L'Rav. So we discount that factor, and he's obligated to testify. Rav Yemar, what happened to him? Hava yoda le'sadu sele mazutra. So he was going to testify on behalf of Mazutra. Asal kamei d'ameimar. He came to Ameimar, who was the dayan. Asfinu l'kulu. He had them all sit. Even the Eidim. Omer le'ravash l'ameimar. So Ravashi turned to Ameimar. How could you do that? An Eidim's meant to be standing while testifying. V'omar ula. Right? We had this before. Machlekes v'bal Eidinim. By Eidinim, there's a question. Avol be'Eidim. But Eidim certainly have to stand. Divrei Kol. All agree ba'amida. Why did you seat Rav Yemar while he testified? Amaleh, he says, you're right, but hi asay, v'hai asay. We have conflicting mitzvahs asay. On the one hand, there's an asay of v'amdu shnei anashim, Eidim must stand. On the other hand, we have an asay to respect the Talmud Chacham. Rashi brings it, es Hashem alekech atira, es, the word es, adds l'ravois, Talmud Chacham, they're meant to be given honor on account of their closeness to Hashem, their association with Hashem, their Torah content. So, which way? Asay the kavod Torah adif. The asay of Torah overrides the other asay, and that's why I had him seated. Talmud Torah connected kulam, right? Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanu minayin l'dayin. Many, many halachas are going to be learned from the words midvar, sheker, tirchak. Most of them relate to, you know, in court, you know, process to ensure that it's done truthfully and with MS. So here's the first halach. Tanarabar menayin l'dayin shleyasa sanigoyrin l'dvarav. A judge realizes that he was misled and he's, you know, he wants to retract. On the one hand, he can say, look, I made a mistake. I'm retracting my verdict, my you know. But it's not so simple, not so easy, right? Perhaps he would be tempted to justify, to further justify his mistaken position. How do we know that he's not meant to do that? Menayin l'dayin shelo yase sanigurin. Sanigurin is like a lawyer, an advocate. He should not advocate for his mistaken position. He shouldn't, you know, dig up all kinds of proofs and supports, right? And perhaps even trick his own mind into thinking that what he said was right. L'dvar tamad loymar, mitvar, sheker, tirchak. Keep far away. It's the only time in the Torah we find this type of, you know, strong expression of tirchak, far away. Keep far away from any inclination, any notion of sheker, of falsehood. U'menayim l'dayin shle yeshiv, tamad bur lefanav. Next. How do we know that a dayin should prevent unlearned students from sitting in front of him who might cloud his judgment, might confuse him during the din? Talmud Leimer, once again, midbar, sheker, tirchak, take all precaution to keep things on track. So the dayan arrives at the court and he sees his fellow dayan there is a bank robber. Can he sit with him? Or one aide who realizes that his teammate is not really a truthful man, he's a gazlan. Menayin shlo yistarif. How do we know that they shouldn't join? Talmud loymar midvar sheker tircha. Keep away from sheker. And Rashi explains that we're speaking, even if he knows that the aidus is going to be emes. He knows the facts are true, but you cannot connect to a teammate who's unqualified to testify. And Rashi explains because basically the verdict is going to be issued as a result of the edus of only one qualified aid. And that's falsehood. So even though the result might be emes, but the process is false. Likewise, the ayanim, if the dayan is not qualified, you have no business sitting with him. Right? It's not a real psak. Okay, one more for today. This can happen. Sometimes, you know, a dayan goes through the whole process. You heard the edus, he sees the evidence, and, you know, it's heading in one direction. But he has a niggling feeling. Something's off. Something's amiss. Right? He realizes that there's something shumaruma. There's some dishonesty taking place. He can't pinpoint. He can't put his finger on it. So he has two choices. Either he just continues, or he says, "Look, I'm just gonna back away from this whole case. I can't deal with it." And that's the right way to do it. Shlo yema, he shouldn't say. He shouldn't be tempted to say, "Look, it's not my business. I'll rule based on the evidence presented in front of me. The falsifiers will suffer, not me. Hoil ve'edim edim, since I have the edim who are testifying, achtachenu. I'll conclude based on the information, and that's it. Ve'koilar. The punishment, koilar is like a chain, basically the punishment, will be theirs. Right? Tolei b'tzavar edim. I'll be hanging over the edim's necks. Basically, if they misled me, it's their issue. I'm just going to proceed. Tamalayimer, no. Just back off. Recuse yourself from the case and leave it alone. Tamalayimer, darshaka tirchak. If you feel something's off, stop it in its tracks and leave the case. Okay, so we learned about Shavuos Eidus. It applies to a fellow who could give Eidus and he refuses to do so. Makes a shvuah to that effect. He's chayv a korban. Only anoshim akasha for edus. We have several sources for that. Regarding standing, well, edim have to stand. The baladim have to stand during gemar din. What about during masu matan? Kontra chachamim, yes. Kontra yuda, not necessarily. As long as we treat them both, equally. We have the story about the eshes chaver and what Rav Nachman did to accommodate all his obligations, standing and sitting and everything in between. We have the story about the Shliach Bezen who got the fellow to stand. We have the halacha of the fellow not coming to the dayan ahead of time so that it doesn't appear like he's swaying him. We learned a chiddush that regarding Dini Mamonis, one is not required to embarrass himself, to Talmud Chacham doesn't have to lower himself. Unless it involves Isurim. We learned about Asei Dekobet Teira Adif and several halachas that we learned from Edvar Sheker Tirchak. All the best to you and much Hatzlacha.